Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture.
And I'm Andy Murray from What Culture. And coming up today, I'm going to tell you all about WWE's plans to honour The Undertaker at Survivor Series 2020. And on top of that, three WWE venues are now being investigated as potential COVID hotspots.
Plus, was the ending of Monday Night Raw botched this week? And WWE backstage returns. This is the news.
Right, let's kick things off by talking about The Undertaker. Mark McCool, the dead man. We got a report here from WrestleVote stating that on the 22nd of November, Survivor Series 2020, WWE will be theming the whole pay-per-view around the 30th anniversary of Mark Calloway, the Underman's debut in WWE, which was, of course, the 1990 pay-per-view, one of the most impactful and iconic debuts in WWE history as part of the Ted DiBiase million-dollar team thing against the Dream Team. You weren't a Dream Team because two of you got eliminated by a bloody zombie, you morons. This is going down on the 22nd of November. The Undertaker will not be wrestling at the event, according to WrestleVote sources, which, you know, we can never take 100% face value because it's the bloody Undertaker. He goes, hey, goddamn, I'm done wrestling. I'm not going to do it again, because that's exactly how he speaks. Mm-hmm. Only for, you know, big wads of money to be dangled in his face and for him to come back regardless. The Terry Funk rule, as we always talk about here. So this was actually reported or speculated by WrestlingNews.co back in February, who were like, hey, WWE, you're going to do something special for your man, The Undertaker, at Survivor Series 2020. And it's just such an obvious, easy piece of marketing, a really simple and straightforward thing to do. We reported earlier this week, of course, that courtesy of Dave Meltzer, the WWE were going to reach out to The Undertaker for WrestleMania, John Cena on that list as well, but that was maybe dependent on whether or not crowds could return. Crowds can technically return. That mental governor of Florida said, hey, just hold sports shows with tens of thousands of people. Although it would obviously be rather reckless for a company to do that, particularly as soon as November. But yeah, I know you're a big Undertaker mark, Adam Wilborn. You come in dressed in that trench coat and the hat and stuff every day, and you like zombies, so tell me what you think.
I just love hearing this story because I had a flashback as you were talking about it to 5 years ago when people were like, do you reckon 25th anniversary of Undertaker's debut, do you reckon they're just gonna call it a day after that? And here we are, 30th anniversary coming up. Well, not the anniversary, 30 years, isn't it? WWE really can't get the hang of the whole 30th anniversary thing. Anyway, let's move on. He may not be wrestling. Someone's definitely getting hit with a tombstone, though.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised because, as I said, from the time this got reported, Undertaker's retirement is a work if he wrestles again, whether it be that he does something at Survivor Series that he's then followed up on at the Royal Rumble that then sets up a match at WrestleMania. That's a very easy sort of timeline to go along. But it makes sense, yeah, 30 years of The Undertaker to be celebrated at Survivor Series. Like you say, no idea if anyone's going to be in attendance. But if they're not, expect a la the Thunderdome with WWE to just go all out with the spookiness.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's 30 years in that company is a ridiculous achievement for any person. And, you know, he's still kicking in 2020, so here we are.
Exactly. Right, let's talk a little bit about last night's Monday night's Raw episode and the ending of it in particular. A lot of people speculating whether or not it was actually botched. Of course, it concluded with Randy Orton cutting a promo from hell in a cell and talking about his history in there and his upcoming match with Drew McIntyre in there on Sunday for the WWE Championship. Me and Adam Nicholas are doing the stream for that. What could possibly go wrong? Anyway, towards the end of the show, McIntyre came down. Orton went, how are you going to get in here? I've bolted the door shut. And McIntyre went, bolt cutters. It's really easy, this. Cut it open, got in. They're all getting excited. Oh my God, they're finally going to come to blows. Show ends. A lot of people speculating whether or not that was like poorly timed or botched or anything like that. No, according to PW Insider, that is exactly how WWE, and in particular Vince McMahon, who approved the show closing scene, wanted the show to go off the air. And to be honest, I've seen Drew and Randy fight bloody loads over the last few months, Andy. I thought it was quite a nice way to set up Sunday's match. I don't need to see them go again for 5 minutes as the show finishes. I like the idea of just, it's going to go down, join us for this on Sunday, even though it's the third. It's the worst Hell in a Cell match on that show, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's not the best. I thought it was a really weird way, I thought, for the show to go off the air. Like, were these guys just standing in the Thunderdome like for like 24 hours afterwards, like waiting for the other to flinch? Or did they just go, hey, you know what? Screw it, pal. Let's just go home. I thought it was strange. I think, you know, a lot of people are ready for this feud to just kind of be over now. I would put myself in that bracket. Like, it's just a lot of exposition every single week and lots of talking and lots of Drew kind of undermining himself at this stage, I think, with the, I was rubbish before, but now I'm really good, which isn't doing him many favours these days, I don't think. So, you know, all the matches have been really good so far, and there have been some highlight moments throughout the build for sure. This was kind of a weird segment for me personally, and I'm looking forward to it concluding, and both of these guys moving on to something new.
I was ready for this feud to be over after SummerSlam, if I'm honest. But we'll talk about what's going to happen in that match when we get to your questions a little bit later on.
Anyway, let's move on to the next story, which is about the Bastard, the Global Bastard. My favourite subject ever. WFTV9, which is a news network, broke the story yesterday that 17 different businesses in Orange County, Florida, are under investigation as potential spreader sites, as potential hotspots for the illness currently ravaging the world. Big Bastard himself. Included on this list of businesses are the WWE Performance Center, Full Sail, and the Thunderdome, the Amway Center, of course.
Hat trick, baby! Which is where...
Yeah, all three of them, brother, right there. WWE has, of course, suffered two reported COVID outbreaks through all of this. Their measures came in for a lot of criticism before the first one in particular, but they seemingly tightened things up. Then we had the second outbreak in September, forced changes to Clash of Champions. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler couldn't appear. Retribution had to take a few days off because they, various members of that group, had come into contact with people who tested positive. It was a whole deal, a whole mess. WWE has, they've issued a statement on this. I don't need to read the whole thing, but it's basically them saying, we're not open to the public. We operate on a closed set. We're doing all of these things. Tests are 1.5% positive as compared to the current national average of more than 5%. So, you know, WWE has, by all accounts, started doing the right things to control this. But when you have, you know, two significant outbreaks with tens of people in a relatively short space of time, you're going to fall under scrutiny. I've forgotten the goddamn name, the Orange County Department of Health that is conducting this organization. At this time, Orange County has reported 531 deaths from 43,942 confirmed cases.
We're not going to speculate on this for obvious reasons, so I'm just going to say better late than never.
Yeah.
So there we have it.
Perfect.
Let's move on and talk about WWE Backstage, though. It returns for the first time since June of this week. It's set to go down on FS1 immediately after Friday's episode of SmackDown. It's all being moved about because of some baseball game. Take me out. I don't know the song. Anyway, of course, it was taken off the weekly schedule four months ago, in fact. And Fox at the time said, we're going to bring it back on odd occasions. And they've decided the odd occasion is right now. I kind of like Backstage being brought back around pay-per-view time, especially with such a major one like this. Two huge matches, in my opinion. I saw some people, you know, talking about, if there's too many Hell in a Cell matches, I agree. You're kind of watering it down having three on there, of course. But one match should have always been in there with a bullet, and that being Sasha Banks and Bayley, considering their amazing feud and Sasha's history inside Hell in a Cell, of course. And then, you know, Roman and Jay, it's the only way you can kind of level up from what happened between them at the last pay-per-view. And then Randy Orton and Drew, we've kind of dealt with. But yeah, looking forward to seeing what happens with Backstage.
Yeah, I mean, I like the show. Like, every single week it kind of got a little bit puffy where, you know, they had this guise of insider knowledge and stuff with Ryan Satin and so forth. But as like a little pay-per-view preview every now and then, I think bringing it back is a cool move. I'm interested to see what this means for Renee Young, or Renee Paquette, as she's going by now, her real name, because she said that she's still working for Fox despite her WWE departure. So who knows? Maybe she'll be rubbing shoulders with Booker T and Christian and CM Punk, I guess, and all those people. We'll see what comes of it. It should be a fun show.
I hope so, because she's one of the last good things about WWE. I know she doesn't even work with them, but still. And I've got something about her to come as well in due course as well. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, if you want to get in touch with us. First question comes from Christian Potteriu, who says, should AEW book on AEW Dark matches between the squash wrestlers so they don't have such a bad record? Some of them are so talented, but they are used just to boost the main wrestler's record. You, of course, do ups and downs for AEW Dark at whatculture.com. Go and check it out. It's great, Andy. But what do you reckon to this?
No, I think jobbers are jobbers and they should lose every time out. That's what they're there to do. They're there to pad the records. Like you said, they're there to put the full-time stars over. I don't see any need, frankly, whatsoever. Like, these people are talented, right? Guys like Lee Johnson really showed what he can do in the match with Ben Carter the other week. Rest in peace, Ben Carter. a joke about him going to WWE. I'm just being a dick. but no, I don't think there's really any need to elevate them at all, unless you're going to sign them and push them and promote them and so forth. We've seen guys like Will Hobbs break out and get deals through looking very good in their defeats and so forth. So the opportunities are there to stand out and prosper in the meritocracy and so forth. But I don't see any benefit whatsoever from giving jobbers victories. It doesn't make any sense to me.
How's my fellow D&D boy Brandon Cutler doing?
Waiting for that final win. They're still building towards him and Peter Avalon, one of them getting that eventual win. They've had a double count out and a double disqualification so far, which is kind of like the perfect way to book a comedy feud where the gimmick is literally neither of them is good enough to win a match. So they're going to have a showdown. Tony Khan, I think, did a contract signing on BTE or something. I mean, cool.
In a main event revolution, I'm telling you right now. Yeah. Next question comes from Sean Acklin, who says, congrats to WWE for the top 5 spots in the PWI 100 women. Who is your top women's wrestler not in WWE? Great shout here from Sean. I say Smiley Kylie Rae. I think next year is all hers, starting with Bound for Glory this Saturday. Yeah, God, that's this weekend as well. Yeah. You're not going to like this last part though, Andy. P.S. Japan called him Eggman, so I call him Eggman.
Stop it. This is kind of a tough one to assess because the PWI criteria, it's not like this is the best wrestler in the world. It's like this is the best pushed and promoted person and presented person in wrestling at the moment. And it's really impossible to argue, I think, with Bayley. But I'll just pick my favorite. Why not? My favorite women's wrestler is Nyla Rose. She's so much fun to watch, wrecking people, doing that crazy knee drop when people are draped over the top rope and stuff. I don't think she's the best wrestler in the world, but she's the most fun to watch for me, and I think she's great. So there we go.
Yeah, there's a whole load of names bouncing around my head. I'm fascinated by Abaddon, but I'm not going to pick her. I adore Britt Baker, but I'm not going to pick her as much as I just look forward to seeing what she gets up to, especially with Tony Schiavone every single week on Dynamite. You've got to mention Hikaru Shida as well, because as a AEW Women's Champion, she's been great. But I have to say, big fan of Thunder Rosa. Can't take my eyes off her when she's in the ring, so I'd probably plump for her. But like you say, there's a whole host of female talent outside of WWE, which is well worth keeping an eye on. Tessa Blanchard. There's another name.
Jordan Grace. Deonna Purrazzo. Yeah, there's loads. There's loads.
Yeah, let us know some of your favourite female wrestlers outside of WWE in the comment section. And we'll move on to the final question from Wayne Martin today, who says, thoughts on an Otis cash-in at Hell in a Cell, considering both WWE and Universal Champions have grueling physical Hell in a Cell matches. We all know my thoughts on this. Otis is going to cash in for the WWE Championship so he can move to Monday Night Raw, probably beating Randy Orton, because imagine that visual. What do you reckon, Andy? What's going down on Sunday?
I think it became quite apparent that beyond the kind of warm, fuzzy underdog moment of Otis, of all people, taking the briefcase, it became clear to me very soon that this was a colossal mistake. Gee, look who's holding those top belts at the moment, right? Roman Reigns is... You cannot touch Roman Reigns, particularly if you're stakes and weights, man. And on Raw, you've got Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. Randy Orton's one of the most decorated wrestlers in WWE history, and Drew McIntyre is a very popular and strong, well-booked babyface world champion. You're going to make the comedy guy the world champion after all of this? Really? And I think they're going to do it as well. I think your prediction's bang on the money. I think that, you know, within weeks of Otis winning this briefcase, they should have taken it off him or used it in a different way, maybe for the tag titles or whatever. Yeah. I think strapping him at the moment is one of the worst things they could do. And they think of the grand back covers. Retribution exists. Eric Rowan had a pet mechanical spider in 2020. I like Otis. I'm not burying Otis, but he's a mid-card novelty act. And mid-card novelty act should not be getting the top belt. We've got to take this stuff seriously at some point. Otherwise, your product is, well, it's a WWE product, which is exactly why it's going to happen.
Indeed. You just mentioned Retribution. There, me and Hamflet did a great podcast about whether they are, in your words, Andy, cooked yesterday. But I saw a great counter-argument to this online, which is people get changed when they get involved with The Fiend. So maybe they'll be good now.
Well, The Fiend hasn't become good since...
Otis is going to win the title because in the eyes of Vince McMahon, Funny Fat Man holds the title. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on to today's and finally. And I'm sure you all think, oh, it must be so cool living, you know, being friends with or like being married to a wrestler. Not the case. Really not the case some of the time. Renee Young, aka Renee Packer. This is Done the Rounds. Thank you to everyone who tagged us on this on Twitter. Just tweeted overnight. John makes me watch him use a blow dart in the backyard regularly.
Their life. John Moxley seems like the kind of guy who, when you go around to his house, he'll spend an hour showing you his personal collection of knives. Like, he's just he's a strange guy. I love him so much. Like, he recently did an interview with Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio where he was describing the process of going to the shop to buy ingredients for Renee's cookbook when they were doing a photo shoot. And he was like, just perplexed by the sheer concept of a shallot. Like, he's not of this planet, is he? He's great. I love him.
We need with the Moxleys to be added to be in the elite. Whereas, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Daddy Boys previewing the Wednesday Night War a little bit later on. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts, Twitter questions, and send us your pictures of animals at What Culture WWE. Watch there. Follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray, the H. stands for happy birthday. You know, we've already spoken about The Undertaker, but what about this? It is the birthday of his younger, hungrier, more talented, more marketable, more charismatic, more bald prodigy, Nathan Jones.
Really took a late second swerve there, didn't it? Follow me at Adam Wilmore. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Nathan Jones.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.